Well, good morning, River Church. How we doing? Hey, I like whoever that was. I like that. You keep that coming. God is good. Amen? Man, do we believe that Jesus is the healer? Amen? Do we believe that he can work in our lives, even in situations that we look at and we see no way out, no hope? Jesus can move and heal and do incredible things. Amen? Amen. I'm excited to worship with you guys today. It's always fun. And it's always exciting. The Spirit of God is working and moving and healing. And he's in this place, man. And we want to see him work in your lives and bring healing and hope to your lives. And when I say healing, I mean physical healing, sure. But I'm talking about healing of the soul, amen? Healing of the soul, of transforming us into new creations. And man, God is, he's just good and he's faithful. And he will do it. So we are, if you're new here with us today, continuing in a series we're calling Citizens of Heaven. And so it's called Citizens of Heaven because it's based on the Beatitudes. We have a couple weeks left. It's based on the Beatitudes, which is really the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. And so Beatitudes is kind of the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is walking. He's got all these different people following him, all these different groups of people following him, the disciples, the Pharisees, just, I've been calling them seekers, but just crowds of people wanting to know, who is this guy? And so he walks up on top of a mountain, he sits down, and he begins to teach what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And so the Beatitudes, like I said, are kind of the beginning of that. And in the Beatitudes, Jesus is over and over and over teaching some very countercultural things. And he's going to touch on some very countercultural things in the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, we talked about before, but he keeps saying, not just on the Sermon on the Mount, but in his teachings, crazy things. Like if somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek. And we see that and go, what? Right? Let's be honest, right? If someone comes to you in need, give them over and over and over. Take the shirt off your back and give it to them. And as regular people, we see that and go, what? How many times do you forgive somebody? He says 70 times that, over and over. And again, we see that and we go, what? But that's why this series is called Citizens of Heaven, because what Jesus is doing is teaching us how Christians, as citizens of heaven, that's who we are when we become Christians, not citizens of earth anymore, right? You might be a United States citizen, but really, if you're a Christian, you're a citizen of heaven. You are loyal to heaven first, amen? To Jesus first, amen? And so as citizens of heaven, Jesus is teaching us how what that means for us as we walk and live as citizens of heaven who are still living in an earthly home. And that, if we're following Jesus, is going to look different a lot of times than the world around us, amen? And I'm not just talking about don't cuss, don't drink, okay? We're talking about an entire way of life, amen? All right. Should have been more amens on that one, I'm just saying. All right. So here we go. Today, Jesus is going to talk about this idea, really this countercultural idea. And you're going to say, how is this countercultural? Countercultural idea of peace. And so that's where we're going to be today, talking about the idea of peace. Who needs some peace in this place today? Amen? Amen. All right, Matthew 5. I'm going to start in verse 3 here. Matthew 5, starting verse 3. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who are humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. In verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. What did Jesus just tell us? He said, we are blessed. Who's blessed? The peacemakers. Why are the peacemakers blessed? Because they will be called sons of God. I'm going to slip in daughters in there as well. Sons and daughters of God. I wonder, as I was thinking about this, I wonder if maybe any of you in here have any family traits in your families that kind of get passed down from generation to generation. Anybody? Like anybody here, maybe you have some things in your family that people recognize you because they go, oh my goodness, you look just like your dad. Anybody? Oh my goodness, you look just like your mom. Oh my God, your mom is just like that. Your dad was just like that, right? There's things that we have in us that are kind of in our DNA that were specifically kind of passed down from family to family. Like you walk into a room and they go, oh my goodness, you look just like your dad. Maybe it's a good family trait. Like maybe you're tall. Well, bless you. I hate you, right? Maybe you have a great head of hair. Good for you. We're really thrilled for you, right? Maybe it's like one of those things. Like maybe your family's just a bunch of tall people. Maybe you've got a family, a bunch of short people, right? But maybe there's like specific physical family traits that you carry with you that are passed down, that maybe your dad, your mom, they're passed down from person to person. Maybe you even look at a picture of your great-great-grandmother, your great-great-grandfather, and you go, oh my goodness, I have that same nose. Oh my goodness, I have that same bone structure. Oh my goodness, I look just like them, right? It's family traits that we get passed down from person to person. This last week, I was at a church conference with my dad. And if you've ever seen my dad, he simply looks like a 60-year-old me. Or maybe I should say, if you ever see me, I look like a 36-year-old copy of my dad. Anywhere I go where my dad has been, I walk in the room and they go, I know who you belong to. You're like, thanks, I guess, right? Thanks. Just kidding. Katie says my dad looks like Sean Connery. So, hey, that's not worst things, right? All right. But every family, we have kind of things that we pass down from person to person, right? It could be looks. It could be mannerisms. It could be interests, right? Like there's families that maybe your family, like you're interested in music, or maybe your family enjoys art, right? Or maybe your family, everybody in your family's got a PhD because everybody goes to school in your family. We're just all kind of intellectuals and we enjoy these kinds of things, right? There can be things, blessings that are passed down from family to family to family. Amen? Along with that, sometimes can come some curses that we pass down. Amen? That one we don't like so much. Like I'll give you a good example. A lot of my dad's side of the family, they're all from Mississippi, and I've shared this story, but it was a long time ago, so I get to share it again. It's like a recap, just enough time. But my dad's family is all from Mississippi, and we had a family member who years ago went and did one of those ancestry.com things, you know, like the my genealogy type thing. Is 23andMe, is that one of them? I'm just going to start naming things. You're like, that ain't right, Mike. But anyway, did one of those, and so they were learning about all of our family history. And I knew that my family history wasn't the best, okay? But I didn't know how bad it was, okay? And so when they got this family history report back, what they started to learn that the Gerald family name comes with it a bunch of alcoholics and horse thieves. Amen? All right, that's my history, all right? Some of you guys are like, we got royalty in my family line. I'm like, well, I got horse thieves in my family line. As a matter of fact, when they handed the report over to my relative that did this, there was all these, you know, they kind of had a name and then how they died, a name, how they died, a name, and like, you know, interesting facts about that person. And several people on the list next to their name just said GTT. GTT, GTT. And so the person said, well, what does GTT stand for? And they said, well, what happened was these were people who had been arrested and were going to be either hung or executed or in jail for a long time. They escaped and they had gone to Texas. So here I am, baby. Here I am, all right? So, all right. Yeah. What I found out was my family history was people that you would not invite over to the birthday party, okay? But here's what happened. Two or three generations ago, we had a great aunt who gave her life to Jesus. And when she became a Christian, her salvation, her relationship with Jesus, literally changed the course of my family history. And you can clap for that, that's okay. Yeah. Like literally, since she became a Christian, there have been at least 12 to 15 pastors just in the last two generations come from her family lineage, and I am honored to be one of them. How cool is that? Now, some of you may sit under my teaching and you're like, it's okay, you know. But it's pretty amazing, isn't it? We pass down things generation to generation. Some of those things are blessings. Some of those things are not such blessings. I'll tell you another blessing that I get was passed down to me, and I'm not saying one thing or another about anybody, but what's kind of cool is that yesterday I got to sit at my mom and dad's house and celebrate their 40th wedding anniversary with them. How cool is that? How cool is that? Now, here's the thing. Yeah, clap for them. It's okay. Y'all are hesitant clappers today. You're like, can't. Can we? Does anybody else follow me? You just clap, man. You need to clap, you clap, okay? But here's the thing about that, and I know that all of our life situations are different, and all of us come from different places, but I promise you, and I tell you that it is a blessing, not just for my mom and dad to be married for 40 years, but it's a blessing for me and my siblings to have this example of love and forgiveness and stability and commitment for the last 40 years that we have. Now, it's maybe not a family trait, but has been passed down to us because of the life that they have lived in front of us, right? And so there are these beautiful things that we can bless now. Like Katie, my wife, I know I'm not the best husband, and I know that things don't always go perfect, but what I will say is that I have no excuse because I know what it is to have a healthy and loving and good marriage because I've seen it exemplified in my parents, right? So that is a beautiful thing that they pass down to us, the beautiful thing that they pass down. You see, we all have family traits, maybe physical traits, it may be interest, it may be the way we've lived our lives before our children and grandchildren, but we all have things that we pass down. I know we can't pass down salvation, so I know I mentioned my aunt, but she didn't pass down salvation, but we can pass down, we can teach things like love and not hate. We can pass down and teach things like kindness and not harshness. We can pass down and teach forgiveness instead of bitterness. We can teach and model what it looks like and means to love Jesus, submit to him, worship him, and live for him. Amen? We can be an example of that, and we can pass down what that looks like. These are things that our children and those who follow after us learn from us and are passed down to us as they, hear me, as they spend time with you, as they listen to you, as they learn from you. You might say, well, my kids don't listen to me, but they are watching you. I tell you that. Right? The other day, Katie and I in the car were talking about something, and Gideon brought it up like a week later. I'm like, girl, we got to be careful what we say and who we talk about. Amen? Right? It was none of you guys, I promise. It's somebody else. Another church, you know, that kind of thing. There are things that we pass down to our children. We can either pass down blessing or cursing. There are traits that you have that right now in you because of what has been passed down to you from those that came before you. And in verse 9 right there, Jesus says the same thing about you and I as sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. He says the same thing about you and I as sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. Let me read this verse to you again. Think about it in the context of family traits and things being passed down and see if that makes sense to you. Verse 9, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Jesus isn't saying here, blessed are the peacemakers because they get saved because they're peacemakers. He didn't say, if you're a peacemaker, I'm going to save you and call you my son or daughter. He just said, God is a God of peace. Our Heavenly Father is a God of peace, and he passes that down to his children. We inherit that from our Father in heaven. Look at this. He's saying peace is a family trait. And if you know God, if you spend time with him, if you watch him, if you learn from him, it is something that will be passed down to you that you will inherit from your Father in heaven. Amen? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That's one of your first notes there. Jesus as the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. We sang it today. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Not only is Jesus the Prince of Peace, but Jesus brings peace to earth between God and man. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace. How? With God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we once were enemies with God. We were separated from God because of our sin. Jesus comes to earth as the Prince of Peace to bring you peace. And I'm not just talking about like I feel good, I'm happy. No, peace with God. You were separated with God. You were an enemy, considered an enemy of God because of our sin. Jesus comes. He dies on the cross. He raises himself from the dead so that you may have salvation and peace with God. Amen? He comes as the Prince of Peace. He comes to bring us peace with God, and then he comes to bring peace to our lives. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:16. May the Lord of peace, once again, our God is a God of peace. May the Lord of peace give you peace. Praise Jesus. Amen. Give you peace in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Psalm 4:8, and I love this verse. I will both lie down, listen to this, both of these things. And maybe this is you because you don't sleep good. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. Why? For you alone, Lord, you alone. Doesn't matter what's happening in the world around me. Doesn't matter what's going on in my family. Doesn't matter about financial crisis. Doesn't matter about the bills. It doesn't matter. I will sleep in peace. Why? Not because the world around me is great. Not because the world around me is perfect. No, because you alone, Lord, make me live in safety. Amen? God's good. Amen? Praise God. He is the Prince of Peace who establishes for us peace with God, and he brings peace into our everyday life. It's said right there, in every area of our lives, that we may know peace. That we may know peace. But here's the thing, is that that's not actually what today's sermon is about. Sorry. We're going to be here for another 30 or 40. Sorry. Y'all got real awkwardly quiet on that. You're like, 30 minutes is like, is he serious about that? Because it could be 30 minutes. See, God says, Jesus says here, he's a God who passes down peace to his children as the Prince of Peace, peace between God and man, bringing peace into our lives. And what Jesus is describing here, what we're talking about today, isn't about what God has done for us, but what God expects of us. See, he's speaking about the type of people that his sons and daughters will be. Sons and daughters, the type of people his sons and daughters will be because they know the one who is peace. Because they have inherited that peace from their Father in heaven. And because they have inherited that peace, because we've watched him, we've seen him, we've learned from him, we've been changed by him, because we've inherited that family trait of peace in our lives, we will be carriers of that peace to the world around us. I'm just messing. See, when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God, he's not talking about how to become a child of God. He's already talked about that earlier in this passage. When he talks about blessed are the peacemakers, he's not talking about a God who's going to bring us peace, because he's assuming you already have peace, because he's actually already talked about that earlier in the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, right? When he talked about blessed are those who are poor in spirit, he's talking about those who recognize that we need God. And when we recognize that we need God, we will be blessed because we will come to him and find salvation. When he says, blessed are those who mourn, he's promising peace for those who mourn. He's promising comfort for those who mourn. When he's, now that he's talking about blessed are the peacemakers, right? They're blessed. What he's saying is, blessed are you because you will carry peace to the world around you. You remember the Beatitudes are all about how citizens of heaven, Christians, live on earth. So when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, he's not saying, blessed are you because you have peace. Aren't you blessed? He already said that. He's saying, blessed are those who inherit peace from their Father in heaven, peace with God, peace on earth, who then bring peace and carry peace to the world around us. That we as Christians would carry that characteristic of our Father to those around us. That we would carry that characteristic of peace to the world around us. And he said, you will be called sons of God, not because you're going to get saved if you do it, but because when you're a bearer of peace, when you carry peace to a world around you, a world that does not know true peace, a world that does not understand true peace, a world that does not have peace with God if they don't have salvation. He says, when you carry that peace to the world around you, others will see you and go, you look just like your dad. even people who don't know him. Oh my goodness, you look just like your dad. That's the God I've heard about. That's the God I want to know. Blessed are the peacemakers, not because we have peace. We're blessed because we already do have it. But blessed are those peacemakers who carry peace, because the world around you will look at you and go, you must belong to Jesus. Amen? I don't know about you, but I kind of want the world to say that about me. Kind of. You see, because there's a lot of garbage out there that ain't Jesus. There's a lot of stuff out there that ain't Jesus. There's a lot of people out there who they want to talk hate and they want to argue politics, or they want to get up and they want to fight, and the world doesn't recognize that as Jesus. They recognize that as hate and division. And I told the team I'm not going to go there. So I'm not going to go there today. There's a lot out there that people are preaching and calling it Jesus, that it ain't Jesus. And Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Why? Because when you're a peacemaker, when you carry peace to the world around you, others will say, that's the real deal. You belong. You can clap for that. You belong to God. So the question becomes, if we want to carry that family trait, what does a peacemaker look like? How do we do it? How do we do it? It's not getting run over. It's not, you're just a doormat. Well, I'm a peacemaker, so I'm just going to get run over by everybody. Pastor Billy did a great job a couple weeks ago talking about what humility and meekness looks like. But being a peacemaker is not being a doormat. As a matter of fact, sometimes being a peacemaker means you got to stand up and make some waves. Sometimes. Unfortunately, though, I think sometimes in the church, we think that's most of our job. It's not, actually. It's not. If you're always fighting, you're always angry, and you're always... You're not. Maybe you need to pray a little bit, okay? Let's pray about it. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, but maybe you need to pray a little bit, okay? Being a peacemaker doesn't mean that you're a doormat, although sometimes being a peacemaker does mean that you have to sacrifice your rights for the good of somebody else. I don't know. There's Jesus maybe at the cross did something like that. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe laying down his rights as the King and Son of God so that we would have peace with God. So sometimes to be a peacemaker, you do have to lay down your rights so that you can serve and love and honor somebody else. But the idea for peace, this word peace that Jesus speaks, is actually mentioned almost 400 times in the Bible. Maybe it's important. Amen? Maybe it's important. It's actually the word shalom, and you may be familiar with the word, right? And the word shalom means peace, but the definition of it is wholeness in every area of your life. Wholeness in every area of your life, including your relationship with God, your relationship with your neighbors, and your relationship with other nations. And so when somebody wishes you shalom, or you hear somebody say shalom, what they're wishing on you, saying to you, is peace for you, peace in your relationship with God, peace in your relationship with your neighbors, peace in the relationship with the world around you. And that's what Jesus brings and gives to us. He brings us peace with God, peace with our neighbors, and peace in the world around us. Amen? So how do we give that to others? Any ideas? Raise your hand. I'll say this. Four quick things. And if you have the notes, you already have the answers. You're like, I texted notes, so I can tell you what you're going to say. To be a peacemaker, you must be a carrier of peace. And so here's a few quick ways that we carry peace. Number one, we carry the gospel of peace. We carry the gospel of peace. We understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We understand that the punishment for that sin is death. But we also know that there is a God who made a way through his son, Jesus Christ, that we may have peace in our lives with God, man, and with our souls. Amen? And we as Christians understand that peace, and we have the opportunity to bear and bring the gospel of peace to the world around us. See, how do we do that? By going door to door? You can, but don't show up at my door, okay? Don't show up at my door, right? Here's the best way I believe that you can do it, and we talk about this in our deeper class, actually, our membership class. The best way I believe you can do it is by living the gospel of peace every day in your life intentionally with those around you. Like, literally, and people always say, no one cares, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's the truth. Like if you walk around and you're just telling everybody about Jesus, but you live a life of hate, you live a life without peace, ain't nobody going to hear a thing about you have to say, amen? Right? The rest of y'all didn't amen. That must be you, right? Yeah. Just kidding. Here's what we say in our deeper class, how we carry the gospel of peace to the world around us. Number one, you have to accept the personal responsibility, meaning understanding that God is a God of peace and he wants to use your life to bring the gospel of peace to the world around you. And if you don't understand that that's a part of your calling as a Christian, you're probably not going to do it. We've got to understand that that is something that God calls us to as a Christian, that we'd be carriers of the gospel of peace to the world around us, you say. So we got to understand that that is part of our responsibility as Christians. Number two, you got to work on building relationships with people. You don't just show up and say, get saved, boom, try that. Knock them over with the gospel, see how that works. You got to build relationships with people. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that you care. It's not a bait and switch. It's just simply loving people and living out the gospel in front of them. Amen? It's serving them. It's giving them opportunities. It's not just walking right up to them, meeting them first time. How you doing? I'm Mike. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor, actually. You need to come to my church and get saved. Matter of fact, as a pastor, I don't often tell people that I am a pastor. Are you embarrassed about that? Kind of. Because you know what happens when people find out I'm a pastor? They get real nervous and they get real scared. I didn't know I had that much power. You know what I mean? I didn't know I had that much power. But it's the truth. We build relationships with people. We let them know we love them. And number three, if you want to carry the gospel of peace to others, you just got to share your story. You got to share your story. You've got to let them know what the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace has done in and through your life. How he's changed your life. Don't tell about somebody else. Tell about what he's done in you. Because here's the thing. I'm going to tell you the truth. You may not like it, but we look on Facebook, we look on Instagram, and we see people and they're like, I lost 30 pounds using this diet, or I did this using this weight loss, or I'll get to this gym and I got ripped. And y'all look at me and you're like, how did you do it, Mike? I don't know. It's amazing. And look at me, right? We look at people and we go, how did you do it? How did you get there? And what do we want to know? We want to know, how did you do that? What are you using? What did you get? What's the diet? What's the gym? And here's the thing is when people see your life as a life changed and transformed by Jesus, what they want to know is, how did that happen in you? And so we've got to share our story. This is what God did in me. This is how God has changed you. This is how God has healed me. And then you just give them an invitation. Invite them to church. Invite them to get saved. So number one, we carry the gospel of peace. Number two, as Christians carrying peace, we live at peace with others. We live at peace with others. What does that mean? It means we love people. We speak peace to others. We speak encouragement to others. We speak love and encouragement into their lives when other people are going through hard times. It means we as Christians are there for them. We love them, right? Just like God is there for us, we serve them. Romans 14, 19 says, so then let us pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. If we want to be carriers of peace, we've got to encourage, love, serve one another. And that's not just the people that agree with you. It's everybody. I'll give you another one. You're not going to like this one. Romans 12, 18. If possible, as far as it depends on, it's on the screen. If possible, as far as it depends on, live at with everyone. We must live at peace with others. And it doesn't just say when somebody agrees with you politically, live at peace with them, does it? It doesn't just say when they are nice to you, live at peace with them. It says, as long as it depends on you, be a person of peace. We don't get a lot of amens on that one, do we? We don't like that. Now, don't get me wrong. There's times that we stand up for our morals. We stand up for what's right. We'll talk about that next week. We're talking about persecution. You're not going to want to miss it. We're going to persecute some people. It's going to be fun, all right? Romans 12:8 didn't say live at peace with others until they offend you or say something against you. It says as far as it is up to you, be a person of peace. That means, River Church, those two verses I just read means when Christians walk into a situation, when peacemakers walk into a situation, things get better. like when somebody's hurting or when someone's going through a difficult time or when there's division, it shouldn't be like, oh man, here comes the Christian. It should be like, thank you, Lord, here comes the Christian. To bring peace, hope, speak life and love and joy and encouragement in the situation. We are called to be people of peace. Number three, so we are called to carry the gospel of peace. We are called to live at peace with one another. Number three, we are called to provide peace using our resources to bring peace to those who are suffering or alone. James 2, 14 through 17 says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can faith save them? He gives this example, and I'm using it for us. Verse 15, if a brother or sister is without clothes or lacks food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, stay warm and be well fed, but you don't give them what their body needs, what good is it? In the same way, if it does not have works, faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. You see, giving peace to someone is more than just words. It's more than just saying, I'll pray for you, brother. Hope that works out for you. Jesus literally said, if I show up at your house, I'm like, hey man, I need some food. I'm like, peace be with you, brother. Hope it works out for you. I pray you get some food. We leave. Jesus says, that's meaningless. In the same way, Christians, we bring peace to others when we see people in need who don't have peace because they're in need. And we use our resources to do what we are able to do to give them peace in their life. And you say, well, is that just a spiritual peace? Sometimes peace is a physical thing, isn't it? If you don't have a roof over your head, how much peace you got? You don't got food to eat, how much peace you got? And so we as Christians have the incredible calling to be peacemakers, and that when we see people in need, when we see people who are hungry and thirsty, the widows and orphans, those in need, we bring them the gospel of peace. We speak peace into their life, but we also use our resources to provide peace. Amen?
Amen.
Last one, number four, we stand for peace. We stand for peace. For the disenfranchised, for the abused, for the at risk, for the defenseless, for those suffering injustice and racism, we stand in the gap and speak up for them. You see, we bring the gospel of peace, we speak encouragement, and we speak peace, we live at peace, we provide physical means to give peace when we can, and when we see injustice, when we see someone suffering, when we see wrong, we stand up for peace. Amen? Amen. Shalom, peace, wholeness in every area of one's life. And when someone is suffering or disenfranchised or facing prejudice, that ain't wholeness in every area of their life. And we as Christians are called to speak up and speak peace and life and love over them. Amen? Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do what is good, pursue justice, correct the oppressor, defend the rights of the fatherless, and plead the widow's case. Proverbs 31:9 says, speak up! Speak up! Judge righteously and defend the cause of the oppressed and needy. River Church, that's a calling of the Christian. Amen? The calling of the Christian. Jesus says, you want people to recognize you as sons and daughters, be a peacemaker. You want people to recognize you as sons and daughters, be a peacemaker. In a world that is all too familiar with hate and war, both physical war and spiritual war, war of the soul, we as citizens of heaven are called to be peacemakers here on earth. Men and women who know the Prince of Peace, who died that we may have peace with God, so that we would know the peace of God. And because we know the one who is peace, we know what true peace is, and we are called and have the privilege to be bearers of peace to the world around us. Amen? Let us do it. Let us do it. Offering the gospel of peace, living at peace, providing peace, and standing for peace. Let us be bearers of peace to the world around us, that they would look at us and go, man, you look just like your dad. Amen? Stand with me, River Church. I'm going to pray for us. Band's going to come. We're going to sing one more song. And I want to encourage you, man. Maybe you're living in today and you're going, Mike's talking about this peace, and I don't have that peace. I don't know that peace. I'm not experiencing that peace. I want you to know that the peace of God is in this place. And if you want to find that peace, you can in this place. And so I would encourage you, come down to these altars. You can pray. You can pray in your seat. But whatever that, you talk to God. You talk about what that peace looks like in your own life. And maybe even as we've been talking about being a peacemaker, you're looking in, intrinsically at your own life and how you're living, and you're recognizing and going, man, I hadn't been a peacemaker. I hadn't been a very good example of someone who's bringing peace to the world around me. Maybe you need to talk to God about that. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to submit to the Lord, and maybe you need to ask him, hey, God, I need you to change some things up in me. He's faithful to do it. Amen? So I'm going to pray for us, and I encourage you to respond to Jesus however you need to. And while we sing, the guys will also be passing out communion, and if you would like to, you can take communion and worship the Prince of Peace, the sacrifice that he made so that you can have peace and know peace. God, I love you. Thank you for who you are. As the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the bearer of peace for our own souls, God. The one who brings peace to our own lives, Jesus. There's a lot out there that ain't you, God. There's a lot out there that doesn't look like you. And sometimes it's people who call themselves Christians who are bringing that to the world around them. I pray that you would convict our souls, that we would be peacemakers to the world around us. That doesn't mean that we lie down and get run over. It doesn't mean that we compromise our morals. It doesn't mean that we compromise the truth of the gospel. But it does mean that we love others, we serve others, we sacrifice our own rights sometimes, and we do everything we can to bring the gospel of peace to the world around us, that they would know the peace of God. And so God, I pray that you would convict our souls, you would enable us, you would encourage us, you would bring your own peace to us in this place right now, that we would be bearers of peace to the world around us, and they would recognize you in us. And even more so, as they recognize you in us, that they would find you and know you and have their own souls and lives transformed by you, God. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody said,